It's been a long time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so thankful to see all of y'all this morning. It's a beautiful day up on the mountains, and we're going to get some rain, aren't we?
Maybe.
Thank you. Lord willing.
Lord willing. I'm going to keep willing. Got a couple of announcements. The 30th, Monday, that's next Monday, not this coming Monday, we're going to be painting the church and the youth building. And I just want to give you a praise report. I had nothing to do with this, but Merlene and was it Rodney?
Rodney.
Rodney and Merlene. I'm trying to figure out the words for it. They headed up this project, and they got enough. We have a person to buy the paint, all the paint.
All to 3 gallons.
All but 3 gallons, and then we had over $500 donated.
Plus 80 more. We got $409 right now.
Okay.
To go towards what you need in the youth building, what you need here to buy the paint, I mean the brushes and the rollers.
Okay. I just think that's wonderful. The old church needs a coat of paint real bad, and so does the youth building. Nikki and I didn't really get enough paint on it last year, did we?
No, that's
but,
good.
anyway, thank you all for your giving. We have 3 new ceiling fans to be installed. The one in the middle is burnt up. The one in the back is almost burnt up. And of course, this is close to the preacher, and I'm living right. It's working great. But now we got 3 new ceiling fans. It's already been bought and paid for. And I'm very grateful for our church. I'm very grateful. I think that I know that this church has made a difference on the mountains. And we've got Janice and Regina going back Wednesday. And Joyce went back, and we have several others. And it'll start thinning out with school starting tomorrow. But we're going to have church the 26th of next month will be our last service. The 26th. And we're going to have a potluck dinner after the service in the youth building. And so I don't know who's going to take care of that. I know that Joe Ellen is taking care of the food, heading up the food project. She's got a sheet there that if you want to sign up for something to bring for the people that are painting on the 30th, right?
Right.
Okay. So if you want to do something, you can see Joellen and sign up for it. I would like to say that I love fried chicken.
So,
and I love tater salad. And I love green beans. And
deviled eggs.
Don't forget the deviled eggs. But thank you, everyone, for making this the best year on the mountain concerning our church. Yes, Merlene.
I put it on the Indian Meadow web page about thanking everybody. But I like to thank, since nobody may not have seen it, Lenny's daughter got us a great discount at Lowe's on all that paint.
Jeannie.
Those three fans and 3 gallons of white paint were just $200.
Wow. Yeah, we thank Jeannie. That's really, really great. And I hope you'll come out the 30th, and hope we have good weather, pray for good weather, and we can probably knock this thing out in a day or a day and a half. And I appreciate each and every one of you. I really do. And all of us have seen a lot of good things happen this summer. We saw kids get saved.
Yes.
And I don't think I'll ever, Carol, get over
Bristol.
I was standing here and she was pushing to get by Sam to come up here. And when she come up here, she said, "I want to give my heart to Jesus." Now she's 7, isn't she?
Yes, sir.
7 years old. And then we had Carolina and Bella. And we got to baptize Joyce. And it's just been a good year. And it's not over with yet. How many wants to have a good service this morning?
Amen.
Are you ready to just open up your heart and let God bless you?
Yes.
Well, that's what He wants to do. And we're 2 or more gathered together in His name. He will be in the midst of us. The Lord is here this morning.
Yeah.
And we're all battling something. We're all battling something. And it's good to come to church and just let God help you with whatever you're battling. We need to give thanks. And Father, we come to you now with a noble heart. Lord, I don't know if I've ever been more humbled than I feel this morning. And how blessed that we are to have a place of worship, to have a place for the kids, to have a place for us to meet and hang out and to partake of food together. I just want to thank you for my friends on this mountain. I want to thank you for everyone on this mountain. And God, we have come expecting something from you. We have come expecting some help with those battles that we're dealing with. We're come to you, Lord. I come to you on behalf of my oldest son. God, that you would heal that COVID that went into his lungs and given him such a hard time, and my daughter-in-law. Oh, Lord, you are the healer. And God, you give us good doctors. You made sure that they are being taken care of. And I want to pray for each and every one on this mountain, for them to know that you love them and that you want to help them with whatever it may be, whether it be family problems, health issues, all of the above, friend issues, whatever it may be. God, help us to come together and, Lord, to receive your blessings. You have blessed us with this mountain. I thank you, God, that I can't remember if anyone that's had COVID on the mountain. I thank you for that, for keeping us clean. And Lord, we just ask now, we're here for a spiritual blessing. Let your sweet Holy Spirit come and just minister to the hearts for those that are troubled. Help us to remember your word that says, "Let not your heart be troubled." If we believe there is a God, then we must believe that He sent His Son to save us from our sin. Jesus, you are very real to me, and I love you. You are my darling Jesus, my Savior, my best friend. And you gave me a wife that loves you and loves me. And God, we're just praying right now that this little bit of time that we honor you with right here in this building, that this little bit of time will strengthen us and encourage us. Lord, I pray for a safe trip back to New Jersey for Joyce and Regina. I pray, Lord, that you would help these children as they start to school tomorrow.
Yes.
watch over them, protect them.
Yes.
We can count on you.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we can count on you. We may not know that much about the Bible, but we can have that relationship with you, Jesus. I remember a man, young man, that was in North Carolina in a mental assistance home. An old Blue, we called him Blue. Blue could not read or write, but the Holy Spirit put in his heart the things that he needed to know, and he was one of the best preachers I ever listened to. Young black man. God, you can do anything. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing too hard for you. So right now, come back here. Right now, let us receive your Spirit. Let our spirit commune with your Spirit. Forgive us of our sins. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in our salvation. I don't even watch the news anymore, Father. All I hear is bad reports. But I can go in your Word and I can read the good report. That you take care of your people. That you do not turn your back on us when we need you the most. And no matter how far in sin that we go, that you're ready to receive us back when we repent. I bless the name of Jesus in this house today. Oh, I bless the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Lord. Your Word says, enter into your gates with thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Father. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks. Give thanks for what the Lord has done. Jesus Christ, His Son, is blessed with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given. Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong.
Let the poor say, I am rich.
Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what
faced,
and it seemed like it was impossible to overcome. I want you to just start thanking Him for bringing you through. Just thank Him this morning. Lord, I thank you for my knees. Glory to God. I thank you for my eyes. Thank you for my heart. I thank you for my life. Thank you, Lord, that that COPD is just about gone. I thank you for Jane and Sam. Oh, Lord. I thank you for Millette. Thank you for Lenny. Janice, Regina. Oh, I thank you. For Randolph and James. Thank you for Nathan, Lord, and Constance. Oh, I see the little one jump up, Mason. Thank you for Mason, Lord. Thank you for Joe and Philip, Carol. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for James. Thank you for Skyler. Thank you, Lord. I feel him in this place right now. You know what? There are times like this that gives me strength when I get down. And we all get down from time to time. But when the Spirit comes through, gives you something that you can hold on to. When nobody else understands us. When even the people we love the most don't understand us. We got something we can hold on to because we serve a living Savior. Our God is real, our God is alive, and our God is still in control. Oh, praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Can we sing that? Let the weak say, I am strong. And now, let the weak say,
thank you.
wants to thank God. The surgery she had this week was successful. Can somebody say praise God? Hallelujah. Amen. Let me get some oil here. God bless you, Lenny. You and Jane are such a blessing. All right, now, ladies, I want you to come in here and pray with her. Lay hands on her. Father, we thank you right now for Sister Lenny. Lord, we thank you for bringing her through the operation.
Thank you.
And God, we are so happy to see how that you're working in her life.
Praise your holy name.
And so right now, Lord, she just come up here to thank you.
Thank you.
Give thanks to the Holy One.
Praise.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless her family. Grandchildren. Lord, we pray for little Caleb. Just love him so much. Miss him. God, thank you that he would rather have spent the summer with his grandma than to go with his own parents. Right now, God, continue blessing. Amen. Amen. Anybody else want prayer?
Yeah, I thank the Lord to went back to the doctor, and he was tickled with the kidneys and the function. And plus, he said my A1C was sugar dropped from 9%. So I praise the Lord for the touch I got here a couple weeks ago.
Jesus.
Thank all y'all for your prayers. So.
Jesus is a healer.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord.
No matter how he does it, he does it.
Yes.
I want to say Amanda, her mother said he's Peter, well, they had to shave her hair. But she's so beautiful without her hair. And she's
got cancer.
Yeah. So they will still do the chemo or whatever they want to do it to her. But just pray that she comes through and that she'll get back to her job and take care of all those babies that she can get.
Amen. Marlene, I believe that because you come up here and you stood in and you're asking for prayer and thanking God for her, that God is going to reward by being with her, bringing her through all. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Praise God.
I want to stay here for you. We won't come up here and pray and speak any worse.
Love him. Who could not love him? I love him. God, right now, we pray for Jim's breathing. We pray for James right now, God, that you would help his lungs. That you would draw him to yourself. That he would be born again of the Spirit. That he'll call upon you. Lord, Millette needs James. A woman needs her husband. Yes, a woman needs her husband. The husband needs the woman. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think about, y'all can go back if you want. I think, I don't know if us men really realize the importance of what is happening on this mountain. And the women have their Bible study on Friday nights, and you know, you get women praying, You're going to see good things happen. Amen. I'm proud of our women that really bind together and pray for this mountain. I'm really proud of the women. I wish more men would join me in, but either way, thank God that we have prayer warriors. Amen. Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and do this song, and then we'll have a congregational song.
Okay.
Well, I feel better about that. Yeah. Feel good. Feel good after praying, don't we? Thank you, Lord.
What's wrong and make it old rugged cross, I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach standing there.
Then you'll call me.
Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share.
Sing it now. We gave Him rottenness in exchange for being His child and being holy and righteous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't much of a deal for God, but it was sure a big deal for us, wasn't it?
Amen.
A big deal for us. Praise the Lord. I want you to remember the prayer list, and Pastor Nikki has told me that you need to sort of hang on to these bulletins and pray for these people that's on here. Kathy Darley, 3 broke places in her leg. She said, I've hiked all over the mountains and everywhere else, and I've run and I've done this and that, and I break my leg going into my daughter-in-law's house on the steps. Our son and his wife are really dealing with COVID-19. He's 57, and I think she's 59 or 60. I told him he married an old woman. It's really got into my son's lungs real bad. And I'm believing for a complete recovery.
Yes.
I'm believing that God takes care of our children. If we're living right, God will take care of our children and grandchildren. Down to the 4th generation. Sheila Chapman. I want to see her in church so bad. I just love her. 15 years ago, on a work day, they put her and me together. I didn't know her, and she didn't know me. But I knew she was pretty feisty. For those of you that don't know it, she used to work for the FBI. She worked at the women's prison. I believe she could be mean if she... But I've just grown over the years. Just love her so much. She's having surgery Tuesday.
This morning she said, "You might be surprised. You'll see me in church one day."
Lord.
Well.
And she said a lot of you have been inviting her, so that's wonderful.
Yes. Jim Webb. Lenny Hammond. Constance Knight. You know, it just thrills my soul, Constance, for you to, and Millette and James to come all the way from Gent to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. Don't miss much. And last year when we didn't meet in here at all, we met at the amphitheater, they come every Sunday. Constance, I pray for you. Madonna for Salvation. Carol Blankenship. Carol?
Yes, sir.
Is the prayers working?
I'm still here.
So we're going to keep you on the prayer list, right?
Yeah. It's probably hard tomorrow. I got an appointment.
Okay. With?
Arthritis doctor.
Arthritis doctor. It's amazing how the women flirt with all them rightist brothers. Bursitis and arthritis.
Oh. I'd love to divorce mine.
I'd like to widow it.
Praise the Lord.
Why didn't it go with art when he went? Arthritis, he should have took it with me.
Carol, you've always had a way of making people feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You sure have.
Well, I love all you people for some reason.
We love you.
That's because you have Jesus' heart.
Amen.
And Philip, we're praying for your mother. We need to keep on praying.
Yeah.
Okay. Donovan and Rachel's marriage and all their six kids.
I talked to them night before last. And they asked, "How's Buck and Nikki?" I said, "They're fine. They're at home." "How's Sam and Jane?" "They're fine. They're at home."
Well, I wrote them a letter, and I have a book to mail to Addison. I addressed the letter to Addison, but told her to give our love to all the children. We do miss them.
I think they miss y'all a lot, too.
I know the Lord will put them on our hearts and help us to write to them and keep in touch.
Well, Carol, your sacrifice, watching over them and Sam and Jane and others,
yes,
that have watched over these kids. Isn't it so sad that a man and woman can have six children and then the devil steps in, and that's what happens. The devil comes in and divides the mommy and daddy. Satan don't want those kids to have a mommy and daddy, both. But I'm telling you one thing, I know those kids got something this year. The time, Sam, that you spent with them and Jane and others, it didn't go to waste.
Too wasted. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless
you. That's true. They're a blessing to us also.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like our nursing home people.
I had a keyboard that I gave the kids, and I was happy after I gave it to them that they left pretty quick and went to Carol's with
it. We gave them the guitar.
Oh, that's why I said I love all you people. By the grace of God.
Those kids really, really blessed me too, Sam. They blessed me too.
Just the other day, he said the playground's so quiet. But then Zoe and Jenna showed up, and they came to our door for a hug. And
they always have so fun.
I didn't get mine to Zoe's birthday party.
What?
I got invited to Zoe's birthday party.
You got invited to the birthday party.
Zoe's.
To Zoe's. Wonderful.
And then we have the Cantrell family. Would you like me to keep them on the prayer list?
Always.
Always. Salvation of our children. Mm-hmm. Vicki Farrell's family. Health issues. Vicki Witt. Her health. Amanda with breast cancer. And the unsaved. Praise reports. Brandon Basham. Healed of COVID. And Joe Allen Murdoch. Her arm is here.
Look at that arm up there.
Now, Phil, you don't need to be beating on her no more.
He's not making a promise.
Anyone else? You got something you want us to pray about? All right. Please don't take this for granted. All right, we're going to sing one more song. Pastor Nicky, I know, has got a good message. Room at the Cross, page 169. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Always room at the cross.
Amen.
Thank you.
Every time we sing that song, I think of a man in Crystal River, Florida, in a nursing home, who said, "Have you got Room at the Cross in your musical repertoire?" And I said, "No." And he said, "You need to do it." And so we did, and we've played it many, many times in the nursing homes. You know, when you're born again, you're full of Jesus. Anytime you think about the cross or what he suffered for each and every one of us, that we might have eternal life and forgiveness of sin, it just breaks me up. And it should, you know, because I look back at my life and until he opened my eyes, I thought I was a pretty good person, but I was comparing myself with others. And but when I looked at Jesus and a holy God, and his Spirit convicted me and showed me how I had sinned and how I had broken every single commandment. And you say, "Well, did you murder somebody?" And you know, Jesus said, if you just hate someone, it's like murder. And if you lust after somebody, that is also like adultery or fornication. And so I agreed with my Heavenly Father. Yes, I did all those things. And he said, "But my son." And that's why I put the hands of Jesus on the front of our bulletin today, to bring us back to the mercy of God. Because in Bible study, we've been marching through the Old Testament in order to get to know God better and to see what his nature is like as he deals with different people in the Bible. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, on through the Bible, and now we're in Judges. And if you've read the book of Judges, you know that God gave them leaders from time to time, different leaders after Joshua died. Deborah being one of them. And this past Friday, we were talking about Gideon. And there are six historical recordings of different judges and how they rescued Israel. Israel was the chosen nation by God, not because they were better than anyone else, but because he wanted to use them to be a light to the world and to show the world that their God was the God and the only God. And they disappointed God time and time again. And they had the history of how God had rescued them from Egypt and brought them across the Red Sea on dry land. And you know the stories and can think of all the things that were passed on, the stories that were passed on about God's mighty power, his creative power, how he created the entire universe and everything that we know about, and probably more. I can hardly wait for that day when Jesus will say, "I want to show you something over here. Look, and over here, look what this is, you know, like." And it's going to be fantastic. But Israel, Joshua gave them the warning. He said, "As for my house, we will serve the Lord." And all of Israel said, "We will too. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to let him be our God. We're going to look to him in everything." But time would go on. Joshua died. Time went on. And then so many years would go by, and their faith and their trust and their looking to the Lord just dwindled down to almost nothing. They became wicked. They started doing the same things that the heathen in the land were doing, worshiping their gods. And when Gideon comes along, they are worshiping Baal, and they've been under the enemy, the Amorites, and the Midianites, thank you, they've been under the control of the Midianites, and the Midianites have been coming and stealing their crops. The minute the corn comes up, they come and take it. The minute the wheat comes up, they come and they take it. And the people had, many of them were living in caves to escape the Midianites and the Amorites. So here's Gideon wondering, where is God? Why in the world has he left us? Well, it's because of sin, sin in the camp. And the people begin crying out. And you're going to see a cycle. You know, we say, yes, I'll serve you, Lord. Now think about your own life. Yes, I'll serve you, Lord. I surrender everything. You're my God. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I belong to you. I thank you for paying the price for my sin. But then, as time goes on, some of that relationship might dwindle. And then something comes along to force us to seek God and say, God, where are you? Why is all of this happening? Well, that's what happened in that time. Gideon and the people start crying out to God. And they become desperate and they seek God with all of their hearts. God says over and over again, if you'll seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. And he'll restore what has been happening in our lives when we kind of slip and fall away from the Lord and start doing things that are in the world and say, oh, well, this is not so bad, is it? Well, what's really bad is not walking and talking and obeying the voice of the Lord. When we're born again, we have the Spirit of God in us to convict us and show us when things are wrong. Now we can keep pushing that voice aside, and God is going to have to bring more discipline. That's why I named the sermon, God's Discipline. He loves us too much to let us go our own way. And so then comes the discipline. And if you're feeling uncomfortable in your life, like something's not quite right, I don't feel one with the Lord, go into prayer, seek him, ask him by his Spirit to show you what's wrong in your life so that you can come back into that peace, that joy, that love, that unity.
Amen.
You know, the minute I said to this little girl in the grocery store, she stole, I saw her grab something off a counter and hide it behind her back so her mother wouldn't see. But her conscience grabbed her right away, and she ended up, from where she took it, she ended up in the meat department, and she threw it into the meat, in with the meat. But I saw her, and I went up to her, and I said, I'm so glad you put it back. And I said, I'm proud of you for doing that. And then I picked it up and put it back where it belonged. And I thought how God convicts us and we're uncomfortable until we get it right. And little Gemma, the other Wednesday night when we had a youth service, she said, I couldn't look my mother in the eye because of the way I had treated her. And I said, now what did you do? She said, I said, I'm sorry. And then that brought them back into unity. You know how we can't look people in the eye when we hurt them or do something, we're hiding something from them? We know we're hiding, and they maybe don't know what we're doing, but we know it. And so that kind of, we're afraid we'll be found out. So then your relationship kind of falls by the wayside until you bring it out into the open and make it right. Well, that's the way our God is with us. He wants us to be brought back close to him. He doesn't want anything to separate us from him. Not even our best friend or our husband or our wives. He wants us to have that intimate, close relationship with nothing between. And so he's got to bring discipline sometimes, doesn't he? And he used the Midianites and the Amorites to discipline the Israelites so that they would cry out to God and seek him with all their hearts. We know, if you've read the Old Testament, time and time and time again, they fall away from God, and he brings discipline through the enemy. Now later he disciplines the enemy, but he brings them into captivity, and then when they cry out to him, he frees them. Jeremiah 29, you probably quote, I know where God says, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Time and time again in the Old Testament, we read that God says, I thought you would love me. I thought you would be one with me. I hear the heart of God when I read the history. And of course, I heard the heart of God when he worked in my life. And I'm still hearing the heart of God when I go astray a little bit. I remember as a little girl, it only took 2 spankings and I decided I was going to be good. Well, I've decided to follow Jesus and be good. Be a good girl and know that he will correct me and discipline with me when I'm not. And so God came and sought out a very unlikely man to free Israel. He used Gideon and his army, whittled it down to 300, remember? But it was because God wanted to show his power. And God wants to show his power in our lives also. And so Gideon, I won't go into the whole story because you can read it in Judges 6 and see how God delivered if you haven't read it, or renew your memory about Gideon. But God then freed them and gave them years of peace after that. With Deborah, they had 40 years of peace when she brought Israel back to where they needed to be. And so I want peace in my life, don't you? In Psalm 119, it says, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Can you look back in your life and see where you were afflicted, where the Lord spanked you, or maybe he had to hammer you over the head to get you to come to himself? You all know my story about ending up in a mental ward. I thought I was so smart, educated, teaching school, raising a son, managing my life alone, and ended up in a mental ward, not knowing my name, tied down in the dark. I got out of bed and went to the door, and it was locked. And I said, oh, I think I'm in the mental section of this hospital. Sure enough, I was. But you know what? That was good for me. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And I did. I was going astray, and I was headed for destruction. I was headed for hell. Didn't know it, but life was miserable. I felt like I was 85 when I was only 33. I felt like there was no love. Where was love? And the psalmist says, but now I have kept thy word, just like with my parents. Now I'm going to keep their word. I'm going to obey them. I didn't like the spankings. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, verse 71, that I might learn thy statutes. I can tell you today that whatever bad has happened to me, God has used for good, to discipline me, to shape me, to mold me, to strengthen me, to make me into what he wants me to be. And he hasn't finished yet, as you all know. But He's working on me and he wants me to be like Jesus. We're going to come shining forth as pure gold one day. The law of thy mouth, the psalmist says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. That's why he says, meditate on the word. What are you listening to? When you meditate on the word, you grow stronger. You might see what's wrong in your life, and then you'll see the power that the Lord will give you to overcome whatever it is. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Says this. The writer says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Buck and I were talking the other day about chastisement. He said, maybe with you, Nikki, you only need a little spiritual voice in your ear, the Holy Ghost telling you, He said, but I need a hammer. I need more discipline. God knows perfectly how to discipline us. You know, we as parents sometimes discipline wrong. We didn't realize that the child was telling us the truth. We believed something else, so they got a harsh whipping maybe or a spanking. But God knows exactly how to handle each and every one of us, because he loves us so much. And if we're born again, we're his children. And if we're not born again, the pressure is going to get greater and greater, because he wants to bring you to himself. I wasn't born again when I ended up in a mental ward, but 3-4 months later I was. God got a hold of me through all that. I thought I was so smart, and God had to show me that I wouldn't even be alive. I wouldn't have a brain. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk apart from him. So really, anything that we're able to do, we should glorify God and say, you have done it. You built this church through your people, through people that believe. You name it, it's God. It's all God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I don't know if you grew up as a child and weren't chastened or spanked or disciplined maybe with the word of God, or put in your room for a while, time out, or taken, maybe some treasure was taken away, or you didn't get to go to a party because you were disobedient. Some children are not disciplined, and they're anxious all the time. They don't know what their boundaries are if we as parents don't discipline. And God has given us the word and the boundaries to help us, to make us happy, to make us one with him. Because when we get outside of those boundaries, we get into trouble, don't we? Those Ten Commandments are there to show us our need for the Lord, because none of us can keep them. But when we have the Lord, we have the Holy Ghost that gives us this heart of love like Carol has for everybody, that I have, that Pastor Buck has. He said to me the other day, I want to be known for a man of God who loves everybody. And that's what happens when we have this heart of Jesus, isn't it? We care. We pray for the lost. We show love to other people. We look for ways we can help and meet needs. It's Jesus in us that does that. We don't have an ulterior motive, or shouldn't. And if we do as Christians, the Holy Ghost will show us. You did it for the wrong reason. You didn't do it heartily as unto me. See, that's what the Word tells. The Word helps us. The Word helps me to be a better wife to Buck. The word helps Buck be a better husband to me. And I praise God for his word. So, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son, that means son or daughter, is he whom the father chasteneth not? Now, I can't say that's true of today. Our our world has said you mustn't spank, or we shouldn't discipline harshly, and we shouldn't discipline in anger, but there is a place, isn't there? There's a place for discipline, chastising. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons, meaning you have no father. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. I had a fear of my dad, a love for my dad, but also a respect and a reverence for who he was and his position in the family. And he didn't try to be a friend. He tried to be a good parent. And that's what we as adults need to do, is be good parents. And when we see our children going astray, we grab them, don't we? No, don't do that. Don't go out in the street. A good parent does that. And then the writer says, shall we not much rather be in subjection, or come under the authority of the Father of spirits, God the Father, and live? Why do we want to rebel? Why do we want to go our own way? Adam and Eve started it. And we all have that nature before we're born again. But God brings discipline and pressure on us. Look at this COVID virus. There's a young man that takes a band to different large cities in this country, and he's leading people to the Lord as they gather to worship the Lord, and he gives the salvation message. God's at work. This COVID virus is an awful thing. But it's necessary, and people that come through it say, it's good that I was afflicted. We got a call from a man in Gastonia, North Carolina, that has been behind this ministry for years. And he and his church help us go into a nursing home. They always give us a donation. And he called us and he said, I had the COVID-19. He's in his 70s, probably. And he has physical problems. He walks with a limp. But he called to tell us that he came through that COVID-19. And he said, God just was so... He was just so full of the Spirit of God. He said, it was good that I was afflicted. It made him think about death. He came so close to death. You remember how Reese was so full of love and just praise and worship for her Savior, because he had brought her through that first round of chemo. We all know that she's been through much, much more besides that. But she had an understanding. God had brought her through that, and she was so grateful. But she had a newfound love for everybody. She was full of Jesus. She had sought him with all of her heart because she needed him. She wanted him. She knew that was where the only place to go. Where could I go but to the Lord? When you face death, Pastor Buck has faced death. I've faced losing him. And we've just drawn closer to the Lord, got into the Word, and been refreshed and renewed. And things started falling away from us, the things of the world. And Jesus became all in all. And that's what he wants. He's using. We all can say, I'm glad I was afflicted. Because it was only then that I sought the Lord and saw his salvation, his mercy, and his answer, and how he would bring me to a different plane, a higher plane. I'd be on my way to heaven and not to hell because of discipline. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Or there were sometimes they disciplined us out of anger, you know, get out of my way. There's some parents like that too. But but he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God wants us to be holy and righteous, and the only way is through that precious blood of Jesus, our darling Jesus. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. We're not jumping up and down over this COVID virus, are we? And don't you know, it's got to get worse if people won't hear and they won't listen. Just like 9/11, they ran to the churches and said, God, how could this happen to America? Why did you allow this? You could have stopped it. Gideon did the same thing, the same questions. And maybe if you've lost a baby, God, why did you take this baby from me? But when we get to know the nature of God, we begin to understand, we can't understand, number one, but we can know his love, because he loved us so much, he sent his only begotten son to die in our place, that we might have forgiveness of sin and everlasting life.
Yes, amen.
So we need to hang on to the fact that God is love, and he does all things right. He does all things out of his nature of love, and he does all things to glorify himself and to bring people into the family. It's our Father which art in heaven. Can you say, our Father? Are you willing to be his child and say, Daddy, Abba, thank you. Thank you for disciplining me. Thank you for spanking me and getting me back where I need to be. Thank you that I have heaven to look forward to, because you showed me the sin in my life and you showed me your answer for that sin. You rescued me. Jesus was the one he sent to rescue us. Gideon was used years ago. Jesus rescued us. I'd like to end with a song, if I can sing it. Mercy rewrote my life. Oops, sorry. I'm a mess with this microphone, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Pastor Buck put a service on the internet. It's one that we did at Glad Tidings Church in Jacksonville years ago. I think it was 2006. So you might enjoy that. We did. We played it with a, that was a good service. So, and I sang this song at that service. Mercy rewrote my life, and it's his mercy. Think about Jesus and his love for you. Let the Spirit spank you. Come home. Come back to where you need to be. For years, I traveled a road all wrong. My heart had lost every joy, every song. Then Christ placed me right where I belong. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen myself.
If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you might be saved and you just went astray, got off on the wrong path. I've done that traveling so many times in a motorhome, found that I was lost and no way to get turned around. I remember one time I backed with a music trailer on a dirt road for miles. I got off on the wrong path. I was where I shouldn't be. Boy, was I ever glad to get turned around and get on the right path. Today's been a special day. I don't know about you, but for me, I've just really felt not only God's love, but I feel the love here. And that's the way it should be in church. We should love one another. And I want to give you the invitation to find that peace. To be assured of where you're going to go. It's appointed unto a man once to die and then to judgment. Not going to escape judgment. Only through the blood of Jesus can you escape that judgment. So, if you'd like to come up, I'll pray with you. Don't let the devil keep your backside glued to that pew when you know that the Lord is playing on your heartstring. It's time to come home. You may not understand a lot. I don't understand, believe it or not, I don't understand a lot. Sometimes I preach 3 times a day for years. But I do know this. There have been times when I got off on the wrong path. And when I felt the Lord tugging at my heart, I responded with, "Please help me." That's all He wants you to do is come to Him. Would you come? God sent you here respond to him. He's the judge. You ever thought about how Jesus, he's your lawyer, he's also your judge? How can you lose?
That's right.
When you belong to him.
That's right.
Amen. Does anybody got anything you want to say?
You can add to the sermon.
Back there are three rows of CDs that I made. I worked all day yesterday trying to do some things for the radio broadcast and all. But there's three different stacks of CDs back there. And I believe if you'll get one of each, listen to it as you go down the highway or on your CD player. Those three stacks of CDs are very special. I know they're going to bless you. Get you one of each on the way out. You'll be glad you did. Mm-hmm. And I love you. Janice, may God go with you, Regina. Mm-hmm. May you know you're special. You're in my heart. Always have been. Mm-hmm. You and Ed were very encouraging when I was discouraged. Mm-hmm. Randolph, you and James is such a blessing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for you breathing.
Yes.
Nathan, you're so special to me. I remember when you gave your heart to Jesus right over there. Lenny, you're so special.
Mason.
All of you.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Joe Ellen taking care of the flowers.
Yes.
I was sitting on the front porch. You didn't know it. I sat there and I prayed for you and Philip.
Yes.
And was very thankful that you would take the time to come and work on the flowers at the church. And you've made the flowers on the mountain. Mm-hmm. So nice. And we love you, Joe. We love you, Philip.
Yes.
Nobody's taking you for granted.
Jane, we thank you for the sign. Jesus loves you.
Amen.
So, is all minds clear? Well, let's stand. Let's sing our song. Be sure, don't forget those CDs. I just believe that, especially with y'all traveling to New Jersey, y'all wouldn't have time to listen. And it'll bless you.
We'll end up feeling joyful.
Yes.
We did.
I love y'all. Have a good week.